Imagine, waking up one morning and finding out that not just one, but two members of your family have been murdered.
I mean, really, it's the kind of scenario you'd expect in a horror movie, not real life.
Exactly. But for people in Pike County, Ohio, this actually happened. It became their reality on April 22nd, 2016.
Yeah, that day. It's a day that'll be remembered for all the wrong reasons in that part of Ohio. We're talking about the Pike County Massacre, where eight members of the Roden family were killed, and in four different places.
Absolutely horrific. And you've brought us a deep dive into this case today.
Right. And in this deep dive, we're going to try to understand what happened that day, the investigation, and, the whole story of how justice has played out so far. As of today, April 1st, 2025, we've got this really detailed article that lays it all out.
Perfect.
So maybe we should start with, what happened that morning?
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning. It was a Friday, right?
Right. Friday, April 22nd, 2016.
Pike County, about 80 miles south of Columbus.
Rural Ohio, quiet community.
Life probably seemed pretty normal until about 7:49 in the morning. That's when Bobby Jo Manley shows up at a trailer on Union Hill Road.
Now, she wasn't going there for anything out of the ordinary. Her plan was just to take care of the animals there, for the Roden family.
Makes sense.
But instead, she walks in and finds the bodies of Christopher Raden Sr., he was 40, and his cousin Gary Roden, who was 38.
Both shot multiple times.
Yeah, it's a horrifying discovery. And the thing is, that was just the beginning.
Oh, wow. So there's more.
In another trailer really close by, she finds her nephew, Clarence Frankie Roden, he was 20, and Frankie's fiance, Hannah Hazel Gilley, also 20. They were both murdered too.
My goodness. It's just unbelievable how this unfolded, and so quickly.
Yeah, really is. And it didn't stop there. Her brother, James Manley, went to check on their sister, Dana Roden. Her house was less than a mile away.
Yeah.
He found Dana, who was 37, and her kids, 19-year-old Hannah Mae Roden and 16-year-old Christopher Roden Jr., all dead.
Inside the house?
Inside the house.
It's just, it's unimaginable, the scale of it all.
Absolutely. Just heartbreaking.
But then there's a fourth location, right?
You're right. Later that same day, they found Kenneth Roden. He was Christopher Sr.'s older brother.
Where was he?
In his camper, about 8 miles away in Piketon.
So all in all, eight members of the Roden family murdered.
In four different locations.
But there's that detail, I think you mentioned it, about three young children who survived.
It's hard to even think about it, In the middle of all this horror, you have a four-day-old baby, a six-month-old, and a three-year-old. They were found alive. They weren't hurt.
So whoever did this, they went out of their way not to harm them.
That's right. It seems very deliberate, doesn't it?
And the way the victims were killed. The article uses the term execution style.
It's a chilling way to put it, but it's accurate. Seven of the eight victims, they were shot multiple times, many of the shots to the head, like really close range. Kenneth Roden, though, he was different. He was killed with a single shot.
So maybe something different happened there.
Maybe. Mike DeWine, he was the attorney general back then, he said early on that it looked like a sophisticated operation. It doesn't sound like your average crime.
It sounds more like something planned out carefully.
Yeah, that's what it suggests.
Yeah.
So who were the Rodens? Like, how did they fit into the community in Pike County?
That's a good question. What was their life like?
Well, the Rodens were a big part of Pike County. Everyone seemed to know them. They were known for being a very close family, kind of living that more traditional rural life.
I see.
Christopher Roden Sr., he was a hard worker. People said he loved cars.
Okay.
And he was really into his pit bulls, which, by the way, weren't harmed. A lot of people thought that was really telling.
Interesting. Like, it was personal, but not towards the dogs.
Right. And his ex-wife, Dana, was a devoted mother focused on her three kids, Frankie, Hannah Mae, and Christopher Jr.
It sounds like Frankie and Hannah were just starting their lives together.
Exactly. Frankie and Hannah were engaged. And the family, the Rodens, they'd really welcomed Hannah into the fold.
And Gary, he was the cousin, right?
Yeah, Gary lived close by, and he was known for always being there to lend a hand. Kenneth, the older brother, he seemed to keep to himself more, living in his camper.
Now, Hannah Mae, she had a connection to the family that was eventually arrested, didn't she?
Yeah, that's a really important part of all this. Hannah Mae was only 19, but she already had two kids, a three-year-old named Sophia and a newborn, Kylie. Kylie was just 4 days old when this happened.
Oh, my goodness.
And here's the thing. Hannah Mae had been in a relationship with Jake Wagner from the Wagner family, and they were in a custody dispute over Sophia.
So that becomes a major factor in the case.
A huge factor. It seems like that custody battle, well, it might have been the motive behind these awful murders. It's really scary to think how personal disputes can turn so violent.
It's tragic. In those first few days after the murders, what were people saying about why it happened? Like, what were the theories going around?
Well, there were marijuana grow sites on some of the Roden properties.
Yeah.
And there was some evidence of cockfighting.
So people were thinking maybe it was drug related?
Exactly. Maybe a drug deal gone wrong or something involving organized crime. It seemed like the obvious explanation at first.
But the authorities didn't seem to agree with that for very long.
No, they didn't. DeWine, he said there were definitely drugs involved, but he didn't think it was a hit by a cartel or anything like that. The way these killings were done, it was too planned out, too specific.
It seems like the article makes that really clear, that this wasn't some random act of violence. This was planned.
Absolutely. They think the attacks happened at night, you know, in multiple places. They think they used silencers. And there wasn't much of a forensic trail in the beginning. All this points to a pretty organized plan.
And then the fact that the children and the dogs weren't hurt, like we said, that suggests the killers knew the family, knew their routines.
Right, knew the layout of the properties. It makes you wonder, like, how long were they planning this?
A case this big in a small community. Who took the lead on the investigation?
It was Pike County Sheriff Charles Reeder. He just started in the job, but he made it very clear. Solving this case was his priority, number one.
Of course it had to be.
And the Ohio BCI, the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, they got involved too. They sent a big team to the crime scenes to collect evidence. It was a huge operation.
But investigations like this, they can take a long time. And for the community, those 2 years without an arrest, it must have been agonizing.
Definitely. It was a really tough time for everyone, especially for the families of the victims. There were vigils, people desperate for answers, wanting justice.
Then things shifted in June 2017.
Right. DeWine, the attorney general, he went public and asked for information about the Wagner family. George Billy Wagner III, Angela Wagner, their sons George Wagner IV, and Edward Jake Wagner.
Okay, so the Wagners, what was their connection?
Well, they used to live in Pike County, but had moved to Alaska. And even though they weren't charged right away, this was a big sign that the investigation was focusing on them.
And then the arrest came in November 2018.
That must have been a huge relief for the community, right?
Yeah, I imagine so.
It's a big day. November 13th, 2018. Coordinated arrests were made in Ohio and Kentucky. Billy Wagner, they caught him in Kentucky. Angela Wagner was arrested at home. And their sons, George IV and Jake, they got picked up during separate traffic stops.
So they got all four of them.
They did. And there's another layer to this. The mothers of Angela and Billy, they were charged too, but with lesser offenses. Stuff like obstructing the investigation.
So it sounds like they were trying to protect their kids.
Yeah, possibly. Now, when the Wagners were arrested, the motive started to become clearer. And it was just awful. A custody battle. That's what they thought led to this massacre.
Over Sophia, Jake's daughter with Hannah Mae.
It seems they were obsessed with getting full custody of Sophia. And Hannah Mae, well, she wouldn't give in. And it's just chilling. You know, months before the murders, she posted on Facebook, "They will have to kill me first."
It's like she knew something was going to happen.
It's really eerie, isn't it?
And what about the evidence? Did they have a strong case against the Wagners?
Oh, yeah. Investigators had been working hard, and they put together a lot of evidence. There were records showing the Wagners buying ammo and special things called brass catchers.
What are those?
They're designed to catch the shells when you fire a gun so you don't leave evidence behind.
Clever, but incriminating.
Exactly. And they also found evidence that they were watching the rodents, spying on them.
Wow. That's creepy.
Right. Plus, there were signs they tried to mess with evidence, like getting rid of silencers and stuff. And they even found fake custody documents.
So they were ready to fight for custody by any means necessary.
That's how it seems. At first, all four of them were charged with 8 counts of aggravated murder, plus conspiracy and tampering with evidence. Really serious stuff.
And of course, in a case this big, the legal process was bound to be long and complicated.
For sure. Thousands of pieces of evidence, digital messages, ballistics, tons of witnesses. It was always going to take a while.
And they pleaded not guilty in the beginning.
Yeah. And the death penalty was on the table, so everything was very tense. Then, 5 years after the murders, Jake Wagner changed everything.
He pleaded guilty.
Guilty to all 23 charges against him. It was a shock for everyone.
It must have been a really emotional day in court.
Oh, absolutely. He confessed to killing 5 of the victims himself. Hannah Mae, Dana, Frankie, Christopher Jr., and Hannah Gilley.
Wow.
And he agreed to testify against his family. That was the deal. And in exchange, they wouldn't seek the death penalty. He got life in prison without parole.
Then a few months later, his mother, Angela, also pleaded guilty.
Right. In September of 2021, she pleaded guilty to 14 charges, but not to actually pulling the trigger. It was complicity to aggravated murder.
Meaning
she helped plan the murders and cover them up, but maybe didn't shoot anyone herself. She admitted to helping plan the killings, getting silencers, ammo, all of that.
So she was involved in the planning, but not necessarily the act itself.
Right. And she got 30 years without parole. And just like Jake, she agreed to testify.
So that left George IV. His trial started in September 2022.
Yep. And with Jake and Angela both testifying against him, it was a big moment for the prosecution. They were saying that George was fully involved, even if he didn't fire every shot.
And Jake backed that up, right?
Oh, yeah. He pointed the finger right at George, saying he was part of everything.
So what was George's defense?
They were trying to say he was clueless, that he didn't know the whole plan, basically a victim of his family.
But the jury didn't buy it.
Nope. After thinking it over for 8 hours, they came back with a guilty verdict on all 22 counts, including the 8 aggravated murders.
Wow.
In December 2022, he was sentenced to 8 life terms in prison back to back, plus another 121 years. And the judge even said that George didn't seem to feel any remorse at all.
And that brings us to Billy Wagner, the father. His case is still ongoing, right?
That's right. Billy says he's not guilty. His trial is supposed to start in May 2024, but it's been pushed back to January 6th. 2025.
What caused the delay?
Scheduling conflicts, and they've got so much evidence to go through, and they even changed the location of the trial. It's not going to be in Pike County anymore. The judge, he knows the Roden family is frustrated with how long this is all taking.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
It's easy to focus on the legal stuff, but we can't forget about the human side of all this. 5 kids were left behind after these murders.
It's the saddest part of the whole thing. Sophia, Jake and Hannah Mae's little girl, she was with the Wagners the night it happened. When they were arrested, she went into state custody, and there's not much info out there about her now.
That's understandable.
Yeah, there are gag orders on the case. Then there's Brentley Roden, Frankie's 3-year-old son. He was okay, and now he lives with his mom, Chelsea Robinson.
Good.
Ruger, Frankie and Hannah Gillie's baby. He was 6 months old. They found him unharmed but covered in his parents' blood. Awful. No one knows where he is now, which is probably for the best, you know, protect him.
Yeah, makes sense.
And Kylie, Hannah Mae's little girl, she was only 4 days old. It turned out Charlie Gillie was her father. She's also out of the public eye.
A lot of young lives change forever.
Absolutely. The article even talks about a possible 5th child mentioned in court documents, but there are no details about that. It's hard to imagine what all these kids are going through.
This is a huge tragedy for everyone involved, not just the Roden and Gillie families. Ohio, especially Pike County, was deeply affected by all this.
No doubt about it. It cost millions of dollars to investigate this case. So many law enforcement agencies had to work together. DeWine, he even said this could be the longest, most complicated trial in Ohio history.
Wow.
And beyond the money and the logistics, it really showed how fragile things can be in a small community. These people, the victims, they knew their killers, that kind of thing can just destroy trust.
It makes you question everything.
It does. And it brought up all these conversations about justice, about mental health, and about how families can be so messed up sometimes.
For the folks in Pike County, it must be really tough to process. This horrible crime that happened right in their backyard by people they might have known.
Yeah, it's like a betrayal. And healing from that takes time. The families, the Rodens and the Gillies, they've been amazing. They're still fighting for justice, you know?
They've been through so much.
There's this quote from Wilma McCoy. She said they've been waiting almost 9 years for justice. And you could just feel the pain in the courtroom during the sentencings. Family members like Andrea Shoemaker, they gave such powerful, heartbreaking statements. It was tough to hear.
As we wait for Billy Wagner's trial, what are the big questions that are still hanging out there? What don't we know yet?
Well, the biggest one is, will Billy Wagner finally tell his side of the story? Will he stick to his story and say he's innocent, or will he admit to something like his wife and son did?
It's hard to say.
It is. And beyond that, what really pushed the Wagners to do something this terrible? We know about the custody battle over Sophia, but it's hard to believe that's the only reason.
It was so planned out.
Right. And so brutal. There must be something more, some deeper reasons that haven't come out yet.
It's like what the article says, you know, a warning about obsession, about what people will do to control others. It's terrifying.
And it makes you think about family in a whole different way. These people, they were supposed to be family, and then you have this unbelievable betrayal and violence. What does family even mean when something like this happens?
Exactly. And for people who follow true crime, this is one of those cases that just sticks with you. the evidence, the motives, the questions about right and wrong.
It's a tough one to wrap your head around. As we get closer to the 9-year anniversary of that night, it's clear the Pike County Massacre will always be a part of Ohio's history. It's a dark chapter.
8 lives lost.
And the legal process is still going on. A lot of people are hoping that Billy Wagner's trial will finally bring some peace to everyone affected.
We can only hope.
Judge Jonathan Hine, he said something that really sticks with me. He talked about the boundless depravity of people who have no respect for others, only their own self-interest in mind.
That's a powerful statement. Makes you think about how far people will go to get what they want, even if it means hurting others. And the impact on families, on communities, it just goes on and on. It's a long road to justice.
It is, and sometimes you wonder if true justice is even possible in a case like this.
That's a chilling thought, and a good place to leave it for today. If you're interested in hearing more stories like this, you can find them on our website, nextchapternews.com.